And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Okay, it was first or second night with your new addition to your family, Nicole?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this doesn't have to be a let's update the audience.
This will be the last time I ever talk about Brooks.
Yeah. No, he's really good at night. We're having some litter box issues, and that's making me very frustrated.
What was the advice I gave you last night?
I don't know. What's your advice?
I've heard from pet behavioral experts that you have to demonstrate for the cat how to use the litter box. Yeah.
Okay.
That's just what I've heard. That's just what I've heard from cat experts. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm just passing it along. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I took a feline behavioral class in college. I was going to minor in it, but I was too busy with other stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll think about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, don't think too hard.
Asking you for advice on cats.
I know what I'm talking about. Trust me on this. Okay. Let's get to the fastest 15 here. Oh, I wanted to mention coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. I have told you that the insanity of Seattle is going to eventually be exported to the rest of the state. And there is a bill that's being introduced by a Capitol Hill Seattle Senator, Jamie Peterson, to eliminate bail in the state of Washington, even for the most serious crimes. Also, it would make it very difficult for cops to arrest people for misdemeanor crimes, even gross misdemeanors. And so it would criminalize our state. Nothing would be even close in the country and maybe the world when you say we have no bail for violent criminals and cops cannot arrest people for most misdemeanors. Now, I read the text of the bill. I'm not a legal expert, but I know somebody who is, retired Seattle judge Ed McKenna, who retired early, mainly because things had gotten so insane. And he was one of the only sane jurists that we had in this city. Ed McKenna is going to join us at 1:30 this afternoon to tell you, no matter where you live in the state, because a lot of people look at Seattle and go, at least we're not like them. But now you could have, even if you live in a law and order, somewhat conservative county. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, people up in Skagit and down in Lewis counties. Let's say in central Puget Sound, Snohomish, King, Pierce, Thurston. Oh, what's going on in Olympia with the homeless encampments? We'll do that in the next couple of days on the show. I guarantee you that. But I'm thinking, if you live up in Skagit, down Lewis, where people tend to be a little more conservative, a little more law and order, a lot of people on the west side of the Sound as well, how would you feel about having radical Seattle politicians bring their radical criminalization of the state to your neck of the woods? So you got to hear this. We'll talk to retired Judge Ed McKenna right after the 1:30 news here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, let's get back to there are a couple things from the inauguration yesterday that we didn't get to. Are you a J-Lo fan, Nicole? Just her music, her singing, her whole being?
Oh, yeah. Who's not a J-Lo fan? I mean, she's cool. Yeah. She's classy. I like her.
I know. I wish she wasn't mixed up with that punk Alex Rodriguez. But you know, other than that.
To me, I thought that in the beginning, and then I mean, they kind of chronicle their lives together quite a bit on social media and stuff. And some of it, you know, she'll post ridiculous pictures. But for the most part, they seem like a pretty cute, somewhat normal couple.
Yeah, I guess. My oldest daughter, I interviewed Alex Rodriguez his rookie year, his first ever spring training with the Mariners. I was doing my show from Peoria, Arizona. And Alex came up to the booth in the middle of the game. He came up into the booth to do a little interview with me. And my oldest daughter at the time was, I think, 5. And she was a big Mariners fan, even at age 5. And so I had him sign a little thing to her. And then I went and matted and framed it and gave it to her. And it's sitting in a box somewhere. And I was thinking, if his stats weren't all juiced up by steroids, which they are, I mean, he cheated horribly, but the numbers alone are staggering. I mean, he would be one of the, you know, 5 greatest hitters in the history of Major League Baseball if he hadn't cheated to get there. So it's another one of those things where, you know, this would be a cool little piece of memorabilia, but it's all tainted.
I think it's still kind of cool, but it is interesting how it hasn't, that being part of his story isn't really what dominates the story, which other people that have gotten busted for the same thing, I mean, they're over. And he's still working, still making millions.
Yeah, no, he's good as an analyst. He does ESPN now. He's very good at that. And snappy dresser. My goodness, the man can dress.
So classy, yeah.
He made, over the course of his, I'm just pulling this up, over the course of his career, take a guess how much money you think he made over the course of his career.
How many years did he play for?
22.
22 years, really?
You don't make anything, you don't make much your first few years.
I don't know, $10 billion?
yes, exactly. $441 million. That's good dough. That's really, really good dough. Okay. All right. Why am I talking
about
Jennifer
now.
Lopez? Jennifer Lopez, yesterday, she sang at the inauguration, and she has a lovely voice. And I thought, well, this is cool. She's going to sing This Land Is Your Land.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
Although I do get sick of the little growls. The only person who should growl in the middle of a song is Olivia Newton-John. This land is your land. I don't like the growling from anybody except Olivia.
From California to the New York Island.
Okay. So it's cool. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But she has a new single out called Let's Get Loud.
Oh, that's not new, Dory.
It's not?
Oh, no.
I thought it was a new single.
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't have any Jennifer Lopez 8 tracks. So anyway, she decides to do a little product placement right in the middle of this lovely musical tribute to America.
From sea to shining sea.
See, I'm thinking this is beautiful, right?
Una nación bajo Dios indivisible con libertad y justicia para todos. Let's get for you.
Just ridiculous. Okay, that's enough. Okay, so this song's been out for a while. Let me have a little taste. Just so stupid.
That's from 1999, by the way. That's not just been around. That's been around for 20 years.
I hate sounding so out of touch. Why? Why do we have to do product placement in the middle of this land is your land? Who?
She owned it.
Woody, wasn't it Woody Guthrie who wrote this land? I could be wrong. Would you look that up for me, please?
Sure.
Who wrote This Land is Your Land? Because I'm thinking that whoever wrote Let's Get Loud isn't going to improve on
it is
Woody
him. It
Guthrie.
Is Woody.
Mm-hmm. Was it? Wow.
Yep.
That's a pretty good guess. Okay. Yeah, I'll take Woody Guthrie over the 40 people who are given writing credits for Let's Get Loud, for crying out loud. Okay, let's move on here with our fastest 15 as soon as I find our fastest 15. There, I'm back on the page. Okay, next up, Joe Biden, the latest hypocrite. He signed an executive order yesterday mandating mask wearing at all federal buildings and facilities. Then he went to the Lincoln Memorial after signing the executive order and gave a little speech, unmasked. Once again, what's good for thee is not good for me. But we've been seeing that an awful lot the last several months. Next up, we're also seeing a press corps, though. The White House press corps, man, they were like pit bulls going after Joe Biden and his press secretary, Jen Psaki, who was also Obama's press secretary for a while. But I thought they were going to softball the Biden administration. But I tell you what, they got right down to the issues the people care most about.
Will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme change?
This is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that today, given the number of executive actions, orders, the inauguration, a few things happening. I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it in here tomorrow.
Wow. Now, that's journalism. Is he going to keep Donald Trump's colors? What did Trump paint the plane orange?
Is he going to keep Donald Trump's colors on Air Force One? Because we hate Donald Trump.
Do they have no self-respect whatsoever?
Will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme?
It's all going mad. I'm telling you, it's all going mad. Okay, next up in the fastest 15. Okay, since I just showed how out of touch I am, Nicole, by not knowing J-Lo's Let's Get Loud. Is sexting still a thing?
Well, yes. Well, I think it probably is if it's, two willing participants. The stories you're going to do are participants that did not agree to it are involved.
If I was 22 and single in 2021, I could not imagine in a billion years doing something like that. It's just, it is so absolutely beyond the scope of anything that makes any sense whatsoever. But we got a bunch of people who are, do you mind my asking? Has anybody ever sent you anything that...
Like sent me anything they shouldn't?
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are definitely times where you get things that you could probably use against people. But I think you earn some trust. I don't do that because obviously I have a job that number one, I just wouldn't. And number two, I have a job that could bite me in the butt at some point.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Obviously. But some people still do that. Yes, I've probably got some incriminating photos.
Well, I've got some examples in New York.
Not what you're talking about, by the way. Not what you're talking about.
I understand. Okay. But in New York, a Democratic legislator, Ernest Flagler Mitchell, he is under fire for reportedly sexting a 19-year-old woman, a graphic picture of his genitals. Came to light the same day he was sworn in as president of a New York chapter of the NAACP. Here's his excuse. He thought he was sending the picture to his wife. So I would say that makes this even worse. Guy's married. The 19-year-old, Lakea Sinclair, she wants him to have to resign now after his sexting. And then, I mean, this just follows by a few days. The general manager of the New York Mets, he lost his gig because Jared Porter, he sent unsolicited texts of his genitals to a female reporter in 2016. And he just sat on it, or she just sat on it. Wait a second. She didn't sit on it. I don't know how to say this. She just held on to the photos until this guy.
We get it. You don't have to.
I know. I really was not trying to do anything untoward there. He was working for the Cubs at the time. And then he gets this gig with the Mets, and the woman finally outed him, and so he lost his job with the Mets. He got the job a month ago, and now he lost his gig because he was sending those pics.
Did you kind of hear the story behind that? She was in an elevator with him, and he just kind of said hi. They just had a little conversation in the elevator, and then he just started sending her those, and she said, please stop, please stop. She ended up quitting the reporter gig and moved back to her home country and said, I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, I know. But he thought that might be a way to get a date with her, I guess.
That does not work. Crazy. And if it does work on somebody, you probably don't want to be on a date with them. Probably not the first person it's worked on.
No. Oh, my goodness. All right, all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then retired Judge Ed McKenna, the Seattle criminalization of the city, they want to expand that statewide. You don't want to miss this next on the Dory Monson Show. As you know, I talk about a lot of Seattle issues on my show, and for a long time it was people in Seattle wanted to know about the issues. People outside of Seattle wanted to just look and laugh and say, well, at least we're not that crazy. But part of my motivation is knowing that eventually some of the Seattle craziness is going to spread regardless of where you live in this state. And there is a bill in the state legislature now that is as concerning as they get. My friend David Rose at Q13 tipped me off on this one. And let me welcome to the show retired Seattle Judge Ed McKenna. Ed, it's always great to talk with you. I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, Dory. Nice talking with you as well.
Okay, I know you've had a chance. I sent you this bill. You've kind of looked at it in broad strokes, and I want to kind of keep it there and not get too deep into the weeds. But is it a fair summation to say that this bill would essentially eliminate most misdemeanor crimes statewide and eliminate most bail for crimes statewide? Is that fair?
Not quite. I don't think it eliminates the crimes, but I think it eliminates bail for most crimes.
Okay. And so tell me from what you saw, tell me what your concerns are.
Well, first of all, I in reviewing it, it's a very convoluted and difficult bill to read, because I think unless you have been entrenched in the system, the procedures that are in place are somewhat difficult to follow. And so this bill makes it difficult to understand, because it sets up a number of procedures that aren't currently in place and sets very high burdens for judges in determining whether a judge can even impose bail and then under what circumstances that bail can even be imposed.
What are the dangers to the community? I mean, I want to put this on a level that is relatable to all of my listeners. What are the dangers to the community of judges not being able to impose bail? And what are the more serious crimes where bail would be eliminated by this bill?
Well, it looks like bail would be eliminated in virtually every crime, potentially. For virtually all misdemeanors, the court would not be able to impose bail unless a person had failed to appear three or more times previously. And then in other cases, a judge would have to consider the financial ability of a person to pay bail, even if they were able to get to that. But first, they would have to make a determination by a standard called clear and convincing evidence that the person poses some type of risk to the community. And then the court would have to impose bail that a person could potentially impose within 24 hours. And then if they weren't able to impose it within 24 hours, the judge would have to reconsider. And that would be considered what was called prima facie evidence that the person couldn't pay the bail. And so the judge would either have to eliminate that bail and simply release the person or modify that the amount that the person could pay.
And just in case, I mean, let's get down to their judicial system 101. Bail has forever been an integral part of our system. Why is it so important? Why? Because right now the no bail movement is gathering a head of steam, and it is going headlong through our courts and our judge rooms. So why is bail significant? Why is it so important?
Well, bail serves a couple of purposes. It serves to ensure that a person will actually come to court, and it also serves, I guess, a limited purpose of holding a person in custody in cases where a judge is concerned that a person will commit a violent offense if released. And don't get me wrong, Dory, I'm somewhat of a proponent of bail reform as well, but this bill certainly doesn't do it, because I think the current bail system we have is not really effective in many cases.
Okay.
But this certainly makes things far more difficult, and it clearly does not protect the public for many offenses.
So what would be the motivation if somebody is released with no bail? What is their motivation to actually show up in court?
Very little, because they, for instance, if it's a misdemeanor, they can fail to appear numerous times before a judge could even impose or consider imposing bail. And right. Even before they considered imposing bail, they would have to consider other less intrusive factors, such as referring persons to some other types of services that are listed in this bill, which I question whether even are constitutional.
I guess we could rely on their personal honor, but I think it was about 45 years ago when I learned there is no honor among thieves. So I'm not sure if that's going to get them back in court. Well, one other thing. When I said at the very beginning that it looked to me like it would eliminate most misdemeanors, I just saw this this one, and like you said, it is so convoluted. But it says that cops can't arrest people unless they find out they have an arrest warrant if they suspect that it is a misdemeanor punishable by less than 364 days, unless there are some very specific things that happen in the presence of a police officer. It sounds like they can't even arrest people that they suspect of misdemeanors. And so that's why it looked to me, and again, I'll defer to you, but it looked to me like it would just essentially eliminate misdemeanors by taking away the ability of cops to arrest people they suspect of misdemeanors.
Well, it certainly eliminates their ability to make arrests, but it provides an opportunity for the officer to issue a citation with a specific time to appear for an individual. And I guess my concern with that is it eliminates a prosecutor's ability to review, because currently an officer will initiate a police incident report, refer it to the prosecutor. The prosecutor will issue a summons to appear in court on a particular date. And here you have an officer making a determination to appear in court. And we saw this, something similar happened 30 some years ago when I was a young prosecutor. And what we found was officers were arresting and booking a whole lot of people and initiating charges, and then the prosecutor would end up dismissing him because they weren't sufficient. And so by bypassing a prosecutor's review of those cases, we're going to have a whole lot of potential offenders showing up in court for no reason because the prosecutor will simply dismiss the charge.
Well, I mean, as you describe that to me, it strikes me that we've had a full year of the people on the left screaming all cops are B words and that we have to defund the police and take power away from the police. What you just described, Judge, suggests that it would put far more discretionary power in the hands of the police.
Oh, yeah, I think it would. Instead of letting the prosecutor make a determination that a person should show up in court, the police officer will now do that. And we'll have to work with the court in finding specific times and dates that are available to order the person to come to court.
Is there any question, based on your review of this proposed bill, is there any question that this bill would not result in more criminals on the street? Because I think it would.
Oh, I think it highly unlikely that it will reduce crime. It virtually eliminates the ability for a judge to put a person in custody on misdemeanor and gross misdemeanor cases. And, you know, when you think about it, the only difference between a gross misdemeanor case and a felony is the amount of damage, the level of harm that the person has done, or the monetary amount. The intent to commit the crime is the same. If you swing a crowbar at a person and you miss, you might be charged with a misdemeanor, but if you actually hit the person, it's a felony. And so, you know, I just don't see where one person would get no bail, where court couldn't impose bail, and the other person, they would. It just, this bill just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, it makes, like I said, I tried to read it, and, I'm not skilled in legalese, but it looked like a mess to me. And also what I said at the very beginning, it also looks, it's a Seattle-based senator who proposed this. It just looks like it's trying to export Seattle craziness to the rest of the state. And I don't think the rest of the state wants that. Based on your time on the bench, do you?
Well, I think, and again, I think some type of bail reform is necessary. I don't think it's effective the way it's being used right now. But this, I think this certainly doesn't go anywhere in protecting the public or addressing the concerns that the public has, especially given the significant increase in crime in certain communities like Seattle.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. All right. Retired Seattle Judge Ed McKenna. Ed, thank you so much for coming on with me today.
Thanks, Dory. Nice talking with you.
Yep, you as well. All right. Love to hear what you think, especially if you don't live in Seattle and you hear that they do want to take some of these policies that they've been pushing hard for in Seattle and take it to your neighborhood. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here at the Dory Monson Show. I grew up a liberal, and I still am a liberal. Just not by 2021 standards. I believe that as long as you're not messing with somebody else, you should be allowed to do and think what you want. Especially think, you know? What do I care what somebody else thinks? That's the very heart of talk radio. If I only had people who agree with me listening, then I wouldn't have as large an audience. I appreciate that there are people who disagree with me who listen. Back in the 60s, it was liberal college radicals who didn't trust government, hated groupthink, believed that you should look at everything with a cynical eye, respected the fact that there were people who were nonconformists. I still feel that way today. So I guess I'm a 1960s liberal. But in 2021, if you don't think the way the mob mandates, if you don't participate in the groupthink, if you dare stray from what you are directed to believe, then you will be shut down. They'll do everything. They've tried with me, believe me. I bring this up because at Harvard University, which used to admit smart people, you used to have to be smart to get into Harvard. But they have circulated a petition among students to take away the Harvard diplomas that were earned years and years ago by conservatives. They don't believe that conservatives, and they specifically talked about Ted Cruz, Representative Dan Crenshaw, who lost an eye fighting for this country, fighting for our freedom, and then comes back here and they're trying to poke out his other eye with this stripping of a diploma. But yeah, they're going, Kayleigh McEnany, who is a Trump spokesperson. And they said that they all participated in the Capitol violence. Now, are we going to strip diplomas of people who participated in the Seattle riots last night? People who participated in the burning of Portland and Minneapolis and New York City? We're going to strip all of their diplomas? Nope. No. Just conservatives. And what it is, it's another example of how your political persuasion is being mandated by the neoliberals, who aren't liberal at all. They're communists. I mean, that's what this is. This is communism. Book publishers are being pressured to not accept any deals for memoirs from Trump staffers. We are entering a communist age. And you and I will keep fighting against it. The Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.